I've been saying church planning pastor for 6.5 years now. I want you to do something for your neighbor real quick. Will you turn to your left and just give a quick, give them a back massage very quickly. Just say we. All right, go the other way. Go the other way now. All right, and say, be quick, Pastor. All right, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to be in 15 minutes or less, I promise. All right, 15 minutes or less, I promise. After the sermon, we could call it a homily, Pastor Don Coleman from East End Fellowship is going to join me up front, and he is going to pray that what we talk about in this, in Matthew chapter 5, will be true for us in this church. And so, you know, if we're going to be faithful to Jesus and we're going to be in the north side for the north side, then there's some things that we got to talk about, right? I mean, there's some things that have to be central to who we are as a church. And so in this first sermon for us as a particular church, I wanted to pick one of those themes, one of those things, and speak to it now in 14 minutes. Here's what I want to remind you of today. It's this, that following Jesus calls for radical love. Following Jesus calls for radical love. Can you say radical love? I'm going to need you to talk to me, all right? Keep me awake, all right? Keep me going here. I'm physically and emotionally tired now. So can you say radical love?
Radical love.
All right, I'm going to point to you at a couple points as we go through this. And when I point to you, you know what to say, right? All right, radical love. That's right. So let's pray, and then let's read Matthew 5, 43 to 47. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the opportunity to sit under it. And Lord, we pray as we come under this teaching of Jesus this afternoon that you would help us. Lord, would you stir our hearts to hear from you, to respond to you in repentance and faith. I pray for that for every single heart in here, for visitors, for guests, for longtime members, for new members, for kids. Lord, we pray that your spirit would be at work as we come under your word. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is Matthew 5, verses 43 to 47. It's also on the screen. It says this. This is Jesus teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not the Gentiles do the same? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Friends, following Jesus calls for radical love. And this teaching is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And part of the Sermon on the Mount is he's going through all these different subjects and saying, you've heard it said something, something. And then, but I say to you, and then he fills in the real truth, right? And so this falls in line here as he comes to this part of Matthew 5. And he says, you've heard it said. And here's what it says. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, just FYI, there are many examples of God's judgment upon his enemies and the enemies of his people. But the Old Testament never said directly, hate your enemy. So it's a little bit of a misquotation. It wasn't an exact quote. But then Jesus says, so you've heard it said, hate your enemy. But I say to you, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus was telling the Jews of his day, you think the Old Testament gives you permission to love your people and to hate those outside of your people. But you missed it. But you missed it, is what he's telling them. And they aren't the only ones who miss it, are they? To hate those that are other than us, the outside of our group, whatever our group is, that's the way of the world, isn't it? I mean, just watch the news, right? I mean, we can step back to something that feels a little less maybe personal. We can think of Yugoslavia, right? The Serbs and the Croats. Not stepping on many toes there, right? But we could get a whole lot closer to home, right? I'm not going to, but I want you to fill in the blanks here. But the people who were originally hearing this sermon from Jesus were under the oppression of Rome. Rome was taking over their institutions, defaming their culture, robbing them of their dignity. So it's not like they had everything going great for them as they heard this teaching. And Jesus was saying to his original audience, show your enemies radical love. Love these people, love your enemies, and pray for them. I want to help you enter into this for a second. Make it personal. Who are your enemies? I mean, just stop for a second and think. Who do I think is of as my enemy? You don't have to say that out loud, but who do you think of as an enemy? Let me help you stir your mind for a second. An enemy could be someone who you have powerful disagreements with over important issues, issues that really matter. An enemy could be someone who doesn't respect you, someone who doesn't play fair with you, someone who you can't trust, someone you're in deadly competition with, someone who is trying to hurt you and the ones that you love. Who are your enemies? Who is it that came to mind? Did anybody come to mind? Whoever it is, if they came to mind, Jesus is saying to love them. To love them. With all that you've got, to love them. Jesus is calling us to the love that's radical, and it even includes our enemies. And he doesn't give them the conditions that I wish that he did, right? There's not an asterisk here. It doesn't say love them if they'll listen to you, or love them if they respect you, or love them if they respond to you. Or love them as long as they recognize you're loving them, right? And in verse 45, Jesus gave an illustration, and when he pointed out that this is the way that God loves. He talks about sort of this, God is not stingy with the sun in the morning, right? He sends it up over both the just and the unjust. He gives it to everybody indiscriminately. That's what verse 45 says. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And then in verse 46, Jesus went even deeper, addressing every person in this room. Listen to it again. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Friends, here's a truth to just hold on to and recognize. It's true for all of us, but we're naturally prejudicial in our love. I mean, I don't like saying that, but it just, I look at my life and I look at your lives and just say that's the truth. You know, we want to love people who we think will love us back, or could love us back. We all want to love people who make us look better and feel better about ourselves. In other words, we often give to get something in return, right? I enjoy playing basketball. And do you know who I enjoy passing the ball to? People who pass it back. That's right. That's right. If you don't pass it back, I don't want to pass you the ball, right? Because I know I'm not going to get it back. It's harder to pass the ball to a ball hog, right? And what Jesus is saying here is pass the ball even when you think you're not getting it back, right? Pass it even when they're not doing what you wish they would do, right? You see, when we do things for other people because we expect something back, that's reciprocal love, right? I mean, that's a sense of like, I do something for you and then you reciprocate. You do something for me. I give and then usually I get something back. And Jesus is calling for something more than reciprocal love here, isn't he? He's calling for... Can we put the quote on the screen? I want you to look at this with me. I'll read it out loud. It says, "Throw us in jail and we will still love you. Bomb our houses and threaten our children and we will still love you. Beat us and leave us half dead and we will still love you. But be ye assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. One day we shall so appeal to your heart and conscience that we shall win you in the process, and our victory will be a double victory." It's a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he took this teaching about radical love and he moved the needle in our culture. You see, Jesus' teaching on radical love, when empowered by the Holy Spirit and lived out in community, is incredibly powerful. Amen? You will need to talk through specific applications with your community, but can I give you a question to think about this week? Here's the question. Am I willing to live out Jesus' radical love, or am I just looking for loopholes? Looking to be let off the hook in a way that love doesn't actually cost me very much? Am I willing to pay the cost of radical love, or am I just looking for loopholes, trying to figure out some way to get out of love costing me very much? And that question pushes on another question. Do you have the ability to love like Jesus says we should in and of yourself? And the answer to that question is no way, right? Do you have the ability to love like Jesus calls us to here in Matthew 5 in and of yourself? The answer is no, right? None of us, in and of ourselves, have that ability. Here's the thing. God's standard is moral perfection. When you read the Sermon on the Mount, it's really pretty discouraging, right? If you're trying to be good, you know, it says, don't just say be nice to the people that are being nice to you. It says, love even your enemies. It doesn't say just it doesn't say don't just have sex outside of marriage. It says don't lust. Right? I mean, Jesus just dials it up and dials it up and dials it up. And then verse 46, which we didn't even read here, says, "Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect." So God is perfect. That's his demands of moral perfection. And we are not perfect, right? Sinful people would be the way the Bible describes us. All right, time to pack it up and go home, right? End of service. God's perfect. We're sinful. Or is there good news? I mean, is there good news? is there a but God here, right? I mean, that's the situation. God is perfect. We're sinful, but God, right? But God, he sent forth his Son to live a perfect life that we should have lived, to die the death we should have died. He rose on the third day, and that anyone who repents and believes, who acknowledges those two truths, God's perfect and I'm sinful and I got no hope apart from Jesus. Anybody who acknowledges those things gets what? They get credited with Jesus' righteousness. They're no longer seen by God as they're as sinful as they really are. And friends, there is good news for sinful people like you and me. And guess what? There's power to live out what God then calls us to. Not perfectly, but to repent towards it, to move towards it, to recognize that God is morally perfect. He saved us in Jesus when we call out to him in repentance and faith. And then we have more power, as Roger talked about. We have the same power that brought Jesus up out of the grave is at work in his people. Now, we don't live that out perfectly, but guess what we get to do again and again and again? Repent and try again. Repent and keep moving forward. Repent and not downplay what God has actually called us to. To not try and say, oh, I'm doing pretty good right now. You never say, no, God, I can't, I don't have it in me. What you call me to is so much bigger than what I have inside of me. I need to repent again, ask for your Spirit's work in me again, and then move towards the radical love that you actually call me to. God sent his one and only Son that whomever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We declare that today, friends. Do you believe in him? Do you believe in him? Have you come to that point where you've repented of your sins? Primarily the sin of thinking you can live your life on your own apart from God, in good deeds or in bad deeds. And do you believe that Jesus lived for you in your place and died for you in your place? You see, when you get to that point, then you see the world differently. You no longer see a world of scarcity. You don't have to live as if you got to get yours. Jesus died for his enemies. Amen. The wicked, the unworthy, the ungrateful like you and me. And when you repent of your lack of radical love and believe that you have been radically loved in Jesus, then it changes you. Christianity says there is no scarcity of love. I don't have to hold back love from you. I'm getting it from another source. I don't have to hold back from you. Christianity says we don't withhold from others to provide for ourselves. We keep looking to Jesus. Life is not in short supply. Grace isn't scarce. Radical love overflows. Pastor Don, come on up. I've got a paragraph to finish, and then Pastor Don's going to pray for us. Whatever it is that you're holding on to Jesus, holding on to that isn't Jesus, hold it with an open hand. You don't need it. When you have him, you have everything. Amen. You don't need to be afraid and worried about who's getting while you're not, about who's taking from you, who's getting the best of you. Radical love is in abundance, and Jesus rose from the grave to prove it. Let's pray.
Father God, we praise you. We thank you now. Hope is in this reality. Jesus, you build your church. You're building Northside Church, and we declare and we decree, mighty God, that this local church will accomplish everything that the living God has designed it to accomplish. And we say today that that radical love, that it will be in the hearts of every member. It will be the heartbeat of every part of what this ministry moves into, God. That radical love will overtake the lies and schemes of the enemy. That radical love will break through the racism and prejudice and brokenness of Richmond, Virginia. That radical love will rise like never before. That radical love will make the difference, God. And so we say, mighty God, that etch in the memory of Northside Church today, etch inside of their hearts every aspect that has transpired here today, that the substance of what it means to be a local church will explode, God, that they would see increase in favor, that they would know that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. And so we cry out to the living God on behalf of Northside Church, and we say, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond this little prayer I just prayed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.